Welcome back to the deep dive.
So, if the last few years felt like the wild experimental phase of generative AI, all those cool pilots and that general wow factor,
The lab coat phase.
exactly. Then 2026 is the year we trade in those lab coats for, well, for hard hats. We're moving from novelty into rigorous industrial scale deployment.
That's the perfect way to put it. The whole narrative has changed for you, the listener. It's no longer about what AI can create.
You mean text, images, code snippets, all that stuff.
All of that. Now the focus is on what AI can actually do. Inside the enterprise, it's a fundamental operational pivot.
And a very expensive one, I imagine. Our sources are projecting global spending on AI systems will hit something like $300 billion by 2026.
It's a huge number.
So this dive is your shortcut to understanding where all that money is going. We're focusing on three converging imperatives: the rise of truly autonomous systems, a massive infrastructure reckoning, and a new hardened regulatory landscape.
And our mission here is to synthesize all that for you. Because the key insight is actually pretty simple. The era of passive AI, the one that just sits there waiting for a prompt, is over. The tech is moving into active, authorized decision-making roles.
Okay, let's unpack that. The autonomous enterprise. We're talking about agentic AI.
Yeah.
What really separates an agent from, the chatbots and copilots we've all been using?
The difference is agency. It's right there in the name. An AI agent is a goal-oriented system. It can plan, it can reason, and it can execute complex workflows with minimal human intervention.
So it's not just suggesting things anymore.
Not at all. A copilot suggests, and you have to click approve for every single step. An agent is authorized to make decisions, execute transactions, manage entire business processes on its own. It uses memory, and crucially, it interacts with external software through APIs.
To do real-world things.
Exactly, like writing a new entry into an ERP system, that's your enterprise resource planning, or accessing a customer file in a CRM database.
That interaction point, though, connecting the agent's brain to the actual machinery of the business, that has always been the biggest headache, right?
A huge headache.
Our sources mentioned something called the Model Context Protocol, or MCP. What is that, and why is it so important?
Okay, so think of MCP as the emerging USB-C for AI applications.
A universal adapter.
Precisely. Before this, connecting a new model to your legacy databases meant brittle, custom-coded integrations. A massive time sink. MCP is a standardized framework that lets an agent just plug in. It can access data, call tools, and execute tasks across all these different systems.
So it solves that model sprawl problem.
It completely resolves it. No more bespoke integrations for every new model.
Okay, so with Aegis now able to take real action, we have to talk about trust. About the level of autonomy. Are we handing over the keys completely?
Not yet. We're seeing a progression. The industry has these defined levels. Level two, the copilot, where a human approves every single step, that's still common. But the emerging enterprise standard is level three.
Level three, semi-autonomous.
Right. And that seems to be the sweet spot right now.
So what does that mean for the human worker who used to own that entire process?
At level three, the AI plans and executes the whole multi-step workflow. Let's say processing a complex insurance claim. It just runs. It only stops for defined exceptions or, really high-stakes decisions. The human's role totally changes.
From a supervisor to what?
To a human-on-the-loop monitor. You manage the system by exception. You only intervene when the agent alerts you. And our sources project that by 2026, about 15% of day-to-day work decisions will be made autonomously by these agents.
15%. That's staggering. But it can't all be smooth sailing. There has to be risk. Our sources talk about an agentic reality check. What's the critical mistake people are making?
The critical mistake is accelerating chaos.
Yeah.
You see it in the numbers. While 38% of organizations piloted agents in 2025, only 11% actually moved them to production.
So a lot are failing in the pilot stage.
A huge number. Gartner forecasts 40% of these projects will fail by 2027 if companies ignore one simple warning. Redesign. Don't just automate.
Don't just automate a bad process.
You've got it. If your original human process was a convoluted mess, simply automating that mess guarantees you get accelerated, complex failures.
Oh.
You have to redesign the workflow for a perfectly efficient silicon-based workforce first.
That makes perfect sense. And speaking of complexity, we're seeing this move away from building one giant super agent that does everything.
Yes, toward multi-agent systems. Some call it swarm intelligence.
It's like an AI task force.
It is. Instead of one huge model, you have an orchestrator agent that acts like a project manager. It takes a complex problem, say a supply chain disruption, and breaks it down. It then delegates tasks, to specialized sub-agents.
A logistics agent, a compliance agent.
An inventory agent. And they talk to each other. They share outputs. They critique each other's work based on their domain expertise and then propose a final solution. It dramatically enhances reliability and trust.
So let's make this tangible. What are the use cases where this is really delivering value right now?
We're seeing massive returns in autonomous customer experience, or CX. Agents are way beyond simple FAQs now. They handle complex multi-step resolutions 24/7.
Like what, specifically?
Things like verifying an ID, checking a return against a complex policy, processing the refund through the finance system, and then scheduling a courier pickup, all without a human. It frees up staff for the really sensitive cases.
And in sales?
We're seeing AI, SDRs, sales development reps. These agents research leads, they monitor market signals, and they engage in multi-turn negotiations over email to book meetings for the human sales team, their autonomous teammates.
Okay, that sets the stage perfectly. You have this army of agents, but running them at scale, that's where the rubber meets the road. And running these huge models is breaking the bank, which brings us to the infrastructure reckoning.
This is a purely economic argument. Yes, the cost per AI token has dropped something like 280-fold, but the total volume of usage has just exploded.
So the total bill is still going up.
It's spiraling. Running these massive generalist large language models for every little task is just not economically sustainable.
Which is where efficiency comes in. We're talking about SLMs, small language models, and DSLMs, domain-specific language models.
That's the correction. SLMs usually have fewer than 10 billion parameters, and their big advantage is cost. They're 10 to 30 times cheaper to run than a massive 175 billion parameter model.
The analogy our sources use is perfect here.
It is. Enterprises realized they were buying a Ferrari to run daily errands, using a GPT-4 class model to just summarize meeting notes. It's overkill.
So what's the strategic fix?
It's a routing strategy. You send 70% of your high-volume, low-complexity work to these efficient SLMs, and you save the expensive powerhouse LLMs for the 30% of tasks that actually need that deep reasoning. It's how you scale without going bankrupt.
But smaller used to mean less accurate. Has that changed, especially with these DSLMs?
It has. DSLMs are trained on highly curated, industry-specific data. Think legal, finance, manufacturing. Because they're optimized for that specific world, they often outperform the generalist models in accuracy, and, importantly, they hallucinate less. IBM's Granite series is a great example of this.
And this whole shift is being enabled by a hardware revolution, right? Edge computing.
Correct. The devices we all use, AI PCs, smartphones, they now come standard with neural processing units, or NPUs. They're powerful enough to run sophisticated AI locally, on the device itself.
Which we call on-device AI.
Right. Instead of sending every request to a distant cloud server.
And doing that locally has some major benefits.
Three critical ones. First is privacy. Sensitive data, like financial records or PII, never leaves the device. That's a huge deal for things like GDPR. Second is latency. No network lag. That's vital for real-time applications like robotics.
And the third is cost, I assume?
Of course, cost reduction. Offloading all that work to the edge dramatically cuts your cloud compute bill.
So the winning architecture for 2026 isn't cloud first, it's strategic hybrid.
Exactly. It's a smart balance. You use the cloud for what it's good at training massive models, but you use the edge for all that day-to-day, low-latency, privacy-sensitive work the agents are doing.
That efficiency is critical. But the moment you give an AI agent the keys to the car, governance becomes everything, which moves us right into the third imperative, the regulatory fortress.
And this is the compliance cliff for 2026. It's being driven by the European Union's AI Act.
And there's a specific date everyone needs to circle on their calendar.
That date is August 2, 2026. That's when the rules for high-risk AI systems become fully applicable. And high risk covers a lot: employment tools, credit scoring, critical infrastructure. For any company operating in the EU, compliance becomes a license to operate.
And the penalties are significant.
They're huge, up to 35 million euros, or 7% of your total worldwide annual turnover. That threat is forcing everyone to adopt a single governance framework, and that framework is AI Trisomum.
AI trust, risk, and security management. Let's break that down. What are the core pillars?
Trisom covers the whole model lifecycle. First is explainability. You have to be able to trace why an agent made a decision, especially a bad one. Second is security, defenses against things like data poisoning or prompt injection.
And the third pillar is model monitoring.
Yes, active monitoring. You need tools that can detect drift when a model's accuracy degrades or when bias starts creeping in. You have to be able to prove the system is working as intended and that a human can intervene.
This also brings up the huge problem of shadow AI, employees using their own tools.
Our sources say about 78% of knowledge workers are BYO AI, bringing your own AI. This is a massive data leakage risk. The solution is moving away from just writing a policy.
The thou shalt not use ChatGPT approach.
Which never works. The shift is to platform-driven governance, automated guardrails.
Yeah.
For example, a secure browser that automatically redacts sensitive data before a user can paste it into a third-party tool.
And layered on top of all this is the geopolitical situation, this trend toward geopatriation. It's huge. Nations are now treating data as a matter of national security, requiring it to be held locally in what are called sovereign AI clouds. For a global company, this means a fragmented, very complex IT architecture. That complexity really underscores why architecture is everything, which transitions us perfectly to our final segment: physical AI, digital twins, and the Green Mandate.
This is where AI leaves the cloud and enters the factory floor. It's the rise of physical or embodied AI, and it's driven by the maturation of digital twins.
And these aren't just static 3D models anymore.
Not at all. They're now dynamic, real-time simulations that allow for prediction and control of physical systems.
So a manager can simulate a solution before actually trying it.
Precisely. Imagine a sudden raw material shortage. Instead of guessing, the manager simulates different mitigation strategies in the digital twin, finds the optimal one, and then executes it in the real world. The twin becomes a self-optimizing system.
And this connects to the industrial metaverse and swarm intelligence and logistics.
This is fully autonomous logistics. Think of a system like Amazon's Deep Fleet. Autonomous robots in a warehouse and autonomous trucks on the road all working together. If one truck hits traffic,
the whole swarm instantly reoptimizes.
In real time on a massive scale. And in manufacturing, we're seeing the rise of cobots collaborative robots.
They're designed to work safely alongside humans.
Right. They use edge AI vision to detect a person's presence and adjust their speed in milliseconds to prevent accidents. It enables much closer human-machine collaboration.
But we can't talk about all this computation without addressing the environmental challenge. The paradox, right? AI uses a ton of energy, but we need it to hit our emissions goals.
Which leads to the two sides of the Green AI mandate: Green in AI and Green by AI. Green in is about making the infrastructure itself efficient, using smaller models like the SLMs we talked about, and specialized hardware.
And you're talking about things like neuromorphic computing.
Exactly. Neuromorphic chips mimic the human brain. They use a fraction of the power of traditional chips for the same task. That, plus advanced cooling, makes the infrastructure sustainable.
And then there's Green by AI.
That's using AI's intelligence to optimize everything else. AI agents are becoming critical for balancing volatile, renewable energy grids, and they're essential for analyzing supply chains for Scope 3 emissions reporting, which is incredibly difficult to do manually.
This really brings us full circle. The big shift isn't about who has the best chatbot. It's about a complete re-engineering of the enterprise.
That's the perfect synthesis. The winners in 2026 won't be the ones with the best model. The models are becoming commodities. The winners will be the ones with the most effective architecture to deploy AI safely, efficiently, and at scale. It's the engineering discipline of the hard hat era.
So to wrap up, there are three crucial actions to prioritize from this deep dive.
First, orchestrate. Don't just automate. You have to redesign your workflows first. Don't just bolt an agent onto a broken process.
Second, embrace the power of small. Use SLMs and edge AI for your routine tasks to manage your costs. Stop using that Ferrari for daily errands.
And third, treat governance as the steering mechanism. You have to operationalize AI treesrism now. That August 2026 deadline is not moving. Governance is what lets you move fast without taking on unacceptable risk.
And that leads to a final provocative thought for you. The rise of this predictable, scalable agentic AI is enabling a fundamental shift from selling time and materials to selling guaranteed outcomes. We're seeing the emergence of an industrialized digital labor market. So the question to leave you with is this: if the core labor component of your business suddenly becomes digital, efficient, and autonomous, what entirely new, high-value, guaranteed outcomes could you start selling? That's the real next frontier.